everybody, this is Reverend Zach. I just wanted to put a message at the top of the podcast to let you know that this episode has some audio quality issues. I did this episode with my old host, Matt, and his recording was kind of echoey. I tried to salvage it as much as I could, but in some places, the audio isn't great. So, sorry about that. Didn't want to give you guys nothing this week, so we released it anyway. If you hate it, please feel free to tell us how much you hated it and how bad it was. Other than that, we did the best we could. I still think it's a pretty funny episode. I think the movie we watched is pretty good. So if you feel like you can put up with that, please listen and enjoy. And if not, I really don't blame you for not listening. And frankly, I don't really care. I mean, listen to it or not. It's really none of my business. But without further ado, here is whatever this is.
Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
And I'm not Francis.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother, or my friend Matthew over here, watch a bad movie, critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, tell you what we think. And welcome, Matt, to the middle of a boob comedy month.
It's good to be here, Zach.
Where we indulge in a genre that no longer exists, the boob comedy. And instead of watching a boob comedy, I think we watched an almost porn.
Yeah, every boob comedy tries to, like, flirt up on softcore porn, but still hang back in that PG-13 rating. This one said, fuck it, and just went all in.
I mean, not like, it looks like a porn. Like, it's got that porn quality. I don't know where,
it's what got that porn store. Acting.
Well, it certainly has that, but it also has, like, that film stock. I don't know the specific film stock that porn's used, but they're using it. And it's one dry hump scene away from being a softcore porn. Like, that's the only thing stopping this movie from being, like, a Skinamax low-quality porn.
I mean, the good news is that critically, it was very well-received. It only lost by 1 point to Avatar The Last Airbender on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, man. Did everybody who rate it was between the age of 13 and 16?
No, I got a 29. I said it barely lost to Avatar The Last Airbender. Come on.
No, I said all the people who reviewed it. Were they between the age of 13 and 16?
There were no professional critic reviews. It was sheerly off the audience review.
Oh, weird.
I know, right? Hard to think that Ebert and Roper couldn't be bothered to weigh in on this one.
Well, it's funny because you brought this up, too, before we even watched it, where it's like, this is one in a slew of giant women films.
Oh, my God, I made a list. Do you want to hear all the giant women films?
Yes, tell me all the giant women films.
All right, there's Attack of the 50-Foot Woman in 1956.
That's the one that started it all.
The remake of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Attack of the Giant Cheerleader, which is apparently an attempt to remake this movie. And, for those animated fans, Monsters vs. Aliens, which also features a roughly this-sized giant woman.
Well, I'll tell you what, anytime you want to come back on the show and do a giant woman movie...
Oh, boy, do I.
Since we haven't said what it is yet, we watched Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold, which is just, like, the title alone is supposed to be a joke.
Oh my god, that, like, the title sold.
This is made in 1995 with its feet firmly planted in the 90s, mind you.
Oh my god, I have a whole section on that.
And it's starring a bunch of people you've never heard of, and that's all I could find out about this movie. I don't know its budget, I don't know how much it cost, I don't know... There's no way this was in the theaters. That's impossible.
Zach, I also couldn't find a budget, but I assume the reason for that is this movie was so 90s, it was probably filmed and paid for just using some kind of Nickelodeon fun buck, and you just can't convert that to American dollars.
Well, I was watching this, and I'm like, I'm convinced this was a made-for-TV movie.
Well, made for some kind of distribution movie, perhaps not TV.
Well, I mean, because it's... Okay, we might as well start talking about it. So, we open with three models, Betty, Inga, and Angel, on a set being photographed while the most 90s generic music plays over it. And it's basically just the tamest striptease I've ever seen. They're wearing, I guess, sexy 90s underwear.
Which is always so weird looking.
Because the panties, like the crotch in the panties are so long.
That's like the 90s thing, though. Have you ever seen like 90s shit? Like the panties come up so high, it's weird.
Well, it's not that, yeah, they come up high, but it's not just that they're high. It's like the crotch itself is a foot long. Were women's crotches longer back then?
Also, this kind of speaks to how unimportant the real opening was, that you actually just skipped over it, because it really...
What's the real opening?
The real opening is, like, the bubbling jars of, basically, food coloring.
Oh, yeah, I skipped right over that.
Exactly,
shit.
Like, and that's how unimportant all of that felt. You just, like, ran right by it.
Well, because we're about to get to boobs.
There are tits inside of 7 minutes on this movie, including the opening credits, I checked.
Well, yeah, so they're you know, stripping while they're getting their photos taken. Also, there's a lot of garter belts. Like, granted, everything they're wearing is lace, but there's so much of it, they're basically fully clothed. So some guy comes up, starts taking photos. All three of these women are in the running to be the centerfold for some fake Playboy magazine called Plaything.
I get it.
And they all hate each other. And they're all ganging up on the shortest and oldest one, who's the main character, named Angel.
Aww.
And then they get topless. Well, that's
basically... You're not wrong.
Like, every 10 minutes, there will be story, 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 and then they get topless.
Like, right where there should be some kind of action beat in a good movie, there's just boobs.
Exactly! They followed that rule, where every 10th page, there should be an action beat. They were going through the script and go, okay, every 10 pages, there needs to be not just boobs, but a solid 3 minutes of nothing but women with their shirt off.
I mean, you gotta know your audience here, Zach.
And their audience, and they know their audience. This movie's God's gift to 13-year-olds in the 90s.
Exactly. I mean, your audience in this case is obviously people not old enough to go see this movie, but, you know.
Oh, clearly, because this is a movie that HBO got and just put up after 10 o'clock at night, and this is just every 13 to 16-year-old boy's dream. And again, they take their tops off and they're in this photo shoot, and it's not even like there's dialogue or story progression. It's just 5 minutes of topless women getting their picture taken.
And most of the dialogue here goes more or less as you think, where it's just a creepy guy creepily trying to not be creepy as he takes pictures of these women.
And again, all of this silliness aside, this movie is instantly awful. I know the term I know the term porn level acting is thrown around a lot, but this one really is porn level acting, mainly because it's almost a porn.
And there's really no surprises there. I've made a note of how the audio seems to kind of cut in and out early on. Like, the mic levels are really inconsistent. So sometimes the character will be talking and he'll suddenly get really quiet, and then he'll come back to full volume.
Well, also they have the issue of once she becomes a 60-foot centerfold, where they try to like echo her voice or make her sound louder without actually being louder, then the mix is just all over the place.
Oh my god, it's the best.
So Angel goes to a doctor, and they talk about how she took part in a experimental beauty enhancement program that makes you look younger and beautiful, but there's a 5-year waiting period between each one, because it's basically like, I don't know what.
Because it's a plot device.
Because the MacGuffin of the movie gets introduced, and they go, oh, you can't take extra beauty serum because something, something. And she's pleading with this doctor, so she shows her boobs and her butt to him, because it's been a whole minute since we've seen either.
Yeah, right.
And then blah, 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 it's dangerous, and then she gets back on the program. And she ends up with this weird briefcase of, like, all of these vials of blue water that is, quote, the beauty formula.
Which, by the way, like, it shows them doing animal testing in the beginning of the movie to much protests of, no, don't, can we ethics? Okay, just do it. How do you test beauty thing for people on hamsters?
Right? Like, wouldn't you at least give it to a monkey or something?
Like, do you give it to the hamster, then suddenly it's like, man, that hamster got some great tits and ass. We gotta write these results down.
Well, the other thing is, too, like, she's already taken it. Like, this is the second time she's taking it. So they're giving this to people when it's not even done tested on humans, and they're already giving it again to people.
I mean, people who show their tits to the doctor, yeah.
Well, she gets the formula. Speaking of tits, she goes to her house, she takes it, and then she grows, like, big cartoon boobies.
Like, yeah, she's wearing the only baggy shirt that she wears in the entire movie, and that's just because, so she can hide, like, the prop pneumatics that inflate her boobs.
It's literally two balloons while she wears, like, an art class smock.
Yep.
And somebody, you can even hear the air sounds.
I doubt they tried to hide that, surely because this movie fancies itself a comedy.
Well, that's okay, that's the thing that have, like, for the first 20 minutes this movie isn't a comedy until all of the sudden it is.
Oh my god, and I can tell you exactly when it is.
Oh, we both know exactly when this movie becomes, quote, a comedy, and we'll get there. So she grows these giant boobies, and you have to call them that because that's what they are in the context of this movie. And but then in the next scene they're not the size of basketballs like they were, so I don't even know why they showed us that. So later that night at the doctor's office, he gets called to his laboratory, and he goes down there, and waiting, did you notice this? Waiting at the door is a security guard,
uh-huh,
right?
Who's always at that door.
And he's holding his baton like it's a gun. He's got his hand on it like he's holding a trigger, and he's got his other hand like it's holding a barrel, but it's just a baton.
Some really top-notch extra acting here.
Well, it's like, did they just tell this guy pretend it was a gun, or did he have no idea how to hold it?
I mean, on a scale of, like, Star Trek
one to
guy
porn acting,
breaking the wall to, like, someone blending in seamlessly, he's somewhere in between. But, you know.
So he goes inside, oh no, the formula made the test hamsters grow enormous.
Oh,
and
no,
by
it's
grow
even
enormous,
better than that. I've got good news and I've got bad news. Show me the, like, he reveals, like, a 6-foot-tall hamster, and he's like, so show me the good news. That is the good news. Pulls off another thing, and there's just a giant hole in a cage. And by the way, this hamster is, like, the shittiest costume prop ever. And you think
it's a man, it's a man in a suit.
It's a man in a suit. And you think it's going to be the worst prop in the movie until you see the giant cartoon rat hole in the wall, like, a 4-foot-high arch just carved into this cardboard set siding.
I'd say the worst prop in the movie is the giant lipstick we get to later.
That is the best prop in the movie. They thought that out.
They thought this is going to be hilarious. Well, we're not even there yet. So, oh no, the giant hamster escaped. So they try and call Angel to warn her, because that if she takes the MacGuffin, she'll turn into the title of the movie.
Possibly a
but
giant hamster.
Or possibly, maybe that's what they're worried about. She's like, oh no, she's going to be a hamster. They call her, and there's a great answering machine gag.
Yeah, right? Like, more 90s.
Yeah, where it's just, they call her answering machine and does that thing where she goes, hello? And then she pauses and goes, ha ha ha, I'm not here right now. It's like, oh man, remember when we loved doing that shit? So the next scene, we all arrive at the fake Playboy mansion, and we meet fake Hugh Hefner, and then this is the scene, right? This is the scene that we both think this is where it becomes a comedy.
Oh my god. Like, A, right before that scene, I gotta say, did you catch the one line he did where he's like, oh, you know, I just quickly knocked out 9 holes, and there's 3 girls standing in front of him. Do you get it?
And the
you
one girl it? Goes, 9 holes?
You get
and
it?
And I... Yeah, I get it. Oh, boy.
Zach, you get it?
Oh, boy, Matt. I get it.
But then
however,
we get the 2-minute gag.
We get the 2-minute gag where his girlfriend, fake Hugh Hefner, has a girlfriend who doesn't even have a line of dialogue in the movie.
She doesn't. You're right.
But she is just comic relief, I think.
Yes.
And so he tells his girlfriend to pick up all of their luggage. And of course, they're women, so they've got so much luggage. They're like, oh, is she going to be okay or whatever? And he's like, oh, yeah, she's fine. She can handle it. So she's holding all of these bags over her head like a cartoon, and she's trying to balance them, and she's walking in these high heels, and she's like stepping over a bear trap and walking over a snake. And it's like, wait a minute. You don't get to introduce a gag like this 20 minutes into a movie.
Yeah, like suddenly it's a Leslie Nielsen movie.
Yeah, it's like Naked Gun out of nowhere. And all this movie has been is just women with their boobs out. And now all of a sudden it's like we're just doing a whole scene for yucks. And you weren't kidding. This is 2 minutes. There's a solid 2 minutes of this.
I know. They really stretch it out. Like, they're like, oh my God, we could only afford this much time of toplessness, so we've got to, like, really pad the plot here.
And it's already, and if you took out all of the boob parts, this movie might be 5 minutes long. Like, there's there's nothing in this movie. It is empty.
To be honest, those 5 minutes, I would probably watch.
So then we cut to dinner. The girlfriend is also the maid and the cook. This is a funny. This is supposed to be funny.
Right.
These women hate each other, like, viciously hate each other.
Yeah. So the whole premise of why they're here is, like, the plaything of the year thingy, and they're being very competitive with each other. And so they're just being like, this is clearly, like, directed by a dude, obviously.
Oh, surprise. Boy, was it ever.
And so it's like, girls are catty, so let's make them, like, obnoxiously catty.
It's not just catty, though. Like, they hate each other as people. Like, they're like, you're just ugly and short and stupid. You'll never win because I hate you.
See, that all sounds like just some shit talking in the sake of competition to me.
We see, like, the saddest scene I've ever seen, where the douchey photographer is trying to sleep with each of the women.
He's just going for it. I skipped through most of this because it's like, I can guess what happens in this.
Oh, I did too. This was a real, what I like to call, click through it movie.
That it was.
You can just sort of bop your way through this one.
Yeah.
So he's like, he knocks on everybody's door with a bottle of champagne. He gets turned down. But Angel says yes, because I guess she has the lowest self-esteem of the three.
Correct.
And the nerdy photographer assistant is, oh, that's right, there's a nerdy assistant, and he has a crush on Angel. And he's just so shy, he doesn't know what to say.
And he's the nerdy guy. You can tell because he wears glasses. Even though he's model attractive as the photographer, he's wearing glasses.
He's just as chiseled as the other dude.
Right.
So they're sad. The photographer and Angel start to make out. We see some boobs again. Thank God, I almost started to have withdrawals. It had been like 5 minutes since we saw boobs last.
I mean, 5 minutes is generous.
So the next morning, she wakes up. She's hungover and looks like shit. And she's late for their photo shoot on the beach. Oh, no, Matt, what's she going to do? She's not going to be the centerfold.
Oh, man, I know what she could do. You know when she got that beauty potion, but she was said to only take one a day? What?
Yeah, I remember.
Took all of it in one sitting.
What? That would be crazy.
That would be plot device.
Oh, no, she might turn into the title of the movie.
Heaven forbid.
So, but what I love is when she takes a bunch of them at once, for some reason her face briefly morphs into a puppet monster
head. Oh, my
God,
the fish monster thing is hilarious. Like, why even do that?
But it's not even like she looks in the mirror and she has, like, weird makeup on. Like, her head turns into a puppet.
Yeah, like, just giant, scary teeth. She looks like the thing from the lagoon.
It's like 2 seconds of genuine horror.
And then just right back to boobs. Don't worry.
Right, exactly. Don't worry, the boobs are coming. Don't worry, guys. Boobs are coming back. So we cut to the beach where she's all of a sudden 2 feet taller than everyone, and nobody cares.
And everyone's like, what kind of vitamins is she taking?
Huh, you've been 5'2 this whole movie, and now you're 6'11. Whatever.
All right, anyway, take out your titty.
That's literally what happens. They're all kind of like, okay, whatever. You're now 2 feet taller than everyone. Please take your tops off, and then boobs.
Right? You're an object. Now you're just a bigger object. It's fine.
So Angel gets lightheaded and then falls over. So everyone runs back to the mansion to get help. And by the time they come back, she is the titular 60-foot centerfold.
Which, by the way, like, size comparison as you see throughout the movie, she's about 30 feet.
I was going to say, I'm watching this, and it's like, nobody really knows how tall 60 feet is, do they?
No.
Like,
especially not the people doing the effects.
And I mean, if you're going to do that, like, call it the 30-foot centerfold. Like, that would still be really tall. That would still be really tall, though.
60 feet just rolls up.
Okay, sure. So we cut back to the doctor's office, where he has called in a cartoon man.
He called in my favorite character.
Stryker the Exterminator, who
is
his
name Stryker, did they say that?
Yeah, his name is Stryker.
Oh my God, that's just even better. This guy is like the the man, the myth, the legend.
He's wearing a bandolier of mouse traps, and on his boots he has little decapitated mouse heads.
Which he emphasized is rat skin from a rat he killed himself. Bagged him a good one on safari in Africa.
The big Africa rats. So this is where I was like, I really got floored, where I was like, so this almost porn slash is also a comedy film. I don't think this movie quite knows what it is.
It does not. And that's the biggest thing. Like, if more effort was put into it, I feel like they actually have some decent laughs in this, mostly from way too serious mercenary exterminator guy. And so, yeah, like, they could easily have milked this into, like, a cohesive plot. Not that there was any motivation to, but...
Well, the thing is, with boob comedies such as these, you can have both of those things. You can have the comedy, and you can have the boobs. And you can also have them mesh together, where they both flow into one thing. But this has it broken into two very distinct pieces. Over here we got our boobs. And when I say boobs, I mean just boobs. There's no dialogue, there's barely music, it's just looking at a woman with her shirt off. And then in a completely different scene, unrelated to that, we have a cartoon man trying to catch a giant hamster. They're not even the same movie. These are two different movies.
Like I said, like, I would watch the 5 minutes.
Also, while he's talking, I'm like, I guess this giant mouse is now the B plot of this film? Mm-hmm. I don't think this movie needed a B plot, but...
It did.
I will give credit where credit is due. I have to admit, this movie is oddly well-paced. Like, all I could think while I was watching it is, I mean... It looks like shit, everyone's terrible in it, but it's clipping along, like, nothing lasts too long, nothing, you know, is too short, nothing overstays its welcome, it happens and we move on.
I agree.
What happens is stupid, but it happens and we're out the door.
Right? It's just like, alright, like, boobs, out of the next thing. Weird guy with mousetrap bandolier, back to boobs.
So, cut back to the mansion, and I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
So, we cut back to the mansion where Angel is sleeping in a circus tent, right?
Yep, which we never see from the outside.
Is that explained where that came from?
Nope, nor is it explained where her custom giant bikini comes from.
Okay, good. That was my second question. She's in a giant bikini, which she's just in all of a sudden.
Just inside of 24 hours, something that has never existed on the face of the earth.
She's in a giant empty circus tent in the middle of a field. Nobody goes, thank God the circus is in town, or literally anything. It's just there all of a sudden.
Why would you question that?
I get because because they're just like, oh, thank God we had the giant woman tent here.
I mean, you don't know. This guy's prepared, man.
The fake Hugh Hefner stand-in who is instantly thinking of turning this into a money-making opportunity, is portrayed as an evil thing, but why? Like, of course he would.
Right, it's 90s-tastic. Like, portraying greed as evil. Like, what's going to happen to me? Well, you're going to be extensively monetized.
My export is now giant women.
Right? Done. Or at least pictures of them.
Which I'll get... Okay, let's talk about that, right?
You can fake that.
Right! So his plan is, he's just like, wow, a giant woman that will sell. Because these are now...
Woman.
Yeah, these are now officially the largest breasts on the planet, right?
You know what? I don't think... Did he even say that specifically?
No, but I'd say that's a selling point.
It would have been. That's why he should have said it. I didn't even think of that.
He could have said anything. He could have said the largest eyeball...
That also probably wouldn't have been wrong.
I don't know if it would have sold as well as the world's largest breasts, but sure, big eyeballs, whatever.
I mean, you know, the optometry crowd, maybe.
But all they want to do is take pictures of her and put her in the centerfold. You can just, like, everybody would just be like, oh, okay, forced perspective with this regular-sized woman against a house. Like, that does not prove this woman is giant.
I mean, you know, it gives me a different set of lacking material, but, you know, it's not...
Well, if you made, like, a movie, or made her into a road show, sure, but if you're just taking pictures with her, I mean, you can do that with regular-sized women now.
And you, Zach, will...
Yeah, you can!
You can just tell. It's not the same. I want a real 60, 30-foot woman in a naked spread thing.
I guess. So then we cut back to Stryker.
Oh, my God, yes.
Who's going to catch this giant rat. He pushes the security guard and says, "Get out of my way, hand job." That made me laugh.
Everything he does makes me laugh. I love this character.
Like, he said that, and like, if somebody called me that, I wouldn't even be offended. I'd be like, "Hand job?"
Right? You'd be more confused, but he'd probably be gone by the time you really questioned him.
Yeah, right. So he walks up to this giant hamster hole
unfazed.
In the wall.
He's just like, "Oh, like 4 foot tall mouse hole, whatever."
And he pulls a hammer out of his pocket, out of his bag, implying that on a typical job, he just walks around hitting mice with a hammer.
With, and like, when we say hammer, this is like your standard 5-10 pound mallet. It's not like he's got like a cartoonish like Smash Brothers hammer. It's just like a little whatever.
Because he just walks into a house filled with mice and just starts whacking them on the head.
Just bopping them, man.
So then this is the brief moment where it becomes a horror film. because this giant mouse turns off the lights because it understands the concept of a light switch and how to operate it.
Right? It can think.
Not only can it think, it can problem solve.
It outwitted this guy.
Stryker didn't seem hard to outwit.
He did not.
So the mouse turns off the lights and then sneaks around him as if you wouldn't notice a man-sized hamster walking around.
You know, Stryker's focused on the job at hand here.
And it sneaks into the giant hole, and then what does he grab out of his bag?
I don't even remember what he grabbed.
It's a giant cartoon-sized piece of cheese.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah, on like a boat anchor-sized hook.
And it is like when you close your eyes and you think Tom and Jerry piece of cheese, where it's like a giant slice of cake, but it's yellow and got
it's
holes
like
in it.
Green Bay hat on a hook.
Right, that's what it is. But it's obviously rubber and it's on a chain because it's he's surprised at the size of this rat, but also oddly prepared for something this size.
He's not even surprised, but so he goes up to the hole, unfazed, whatever. He has a hook with the cheese the size that could only be used for a rat this large. And then when a rat that large comes out of the hole, he's like, "Oh my God!"
He's frightened by it, but oddly prepared for it.
He's prepared for it right up until he sees it and goes, "Oh my God, wait."
So it runs out of the hole and, like, I honestly thought was going to kill him.
Right, just, and we're done with that character anyway. I don't think we see him again. Why not kill him?
But it doesn't really do anything other than, like, rub its hands on him.
And then he just runs out of there scared.
Because, I mean, it honestly just looks like a man going, "There's a puppet touching me! Ah!"
Heaven forbid this movie have sex and violence. Then it would be too much for the MPAA.
See, that's the thing. Like, it could have one or either or both, but it doesn't have either of them. He should die by getting mauled to death by this giant rat, because that would be ultimate karma, right?
Right.
Also, sure. Somebody should have sex with this giant lady.
Oh my God. So we're teased with that. Like, the photographer shows up. And she's, like, hinting. She's leading him on. Like, "Oh, man, like, you wanna come back to my place, the giant tent that we never see?" And he's like, "Sorry, I got a headache." Not, "Oh, my God, I'd love to do backflips onto your tit."
Well, I mean, like you said, she's laid it on pretty thick. Like, "Hey, I want you to come in my tent and have sex with me." And rightfully so, he's terrified.
Ooh, I want giant people sex. Well,
Okay. This sex would be one way, right? Like, he could use his whole...
I'm not sure it would be one way, actually. Like,
he could use his whole body and get her off. It would be a workout, but he could do it. I mean, he'd really be in there working it around, but he could get it done. She would kill him. The only thing she could possibly do is try to jerk him off, and then she'd probably just rip his little wiener out.
Exactly. I mean, but at least, like, I don't know.
Something.
Yeah, but yeah, to your point, it would probably be fairly unfeasible.
That back at the office, they now have a mousetrap-sized table. It almost seems like
the
mouse is more
mousetrap.
Oh, a table-sized mousetrap, sorry.
Either of those, great props.
This is almost more of the movie than she is.
I keep saying I would watch the 5 minutes of it that isn't porn. The 4 foot mousetrap, I laughed, especially when it goes off in the off camera and a guy screams. Sure, that was funny.
So the whole staff of the doctor's office is now walking around at night blindly firing a gun.
There's like five doctors in a line. There's a woman at the front with like a 357 Magnum who is the jumpiest of the bunch, and she's got the gun and she is just firing into random rooms as they go into them. Until the doctor's like, maybe this isn't a great idea.
Can you please stop firing this gun blindly?
Oh, and then, all right. So, obviously, it seems like a lot of the people probably slept with the director to get their parts. The person I vote most likely to have actually done this is the lady doctor that runs away.
Oh my God. I keep saying, like, oh, cartoon this and cartoon that, because, and I'm about to say it for her, because it's genuinely how people are acting. They are real people, but they are acting as if they are in a cartoon.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm gonna quit! And she turns around, and she's walking in a way where she's throwing her hips around that seem like it might hurt her.
Yeah, but it makes her tits bounce more, and that's really...
But we don't even see her! Her back is to us!
It's important to just know. And again, okay. She has that one line, and then she runs away, and she's incredibly attractive, so I'm voting most likely to have banged the director.
I'll concede that.
All right. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
So back at the circus tent,
oh my God,
feeding...
the best prop of the day comes out.
Well, first, they're feeding her dozens of baguettes. Oh. I guess in an attempt to satiate her hunger before she just starts eating whole cows.
Right, and like, oh, what do models eat? Pure carbs. That sounds right.
Just carbs. But also at this point, like, just crouton-sized.
Right? I mean, yeah, at this point, they're like pretzel sticks.
So, and then she's all sad, and they go, we have something to cheer you up. And what comes in?
They pull out what is to all eyes a 5-foot-long vibrator.
And that's what she thinks it is.
That's what everyone thinks it is.
Well, rightfully so. And she's like appalled. She's like, of all the things you could have brought me, this is what you guys made?
I mean, she was macking on the dude earlier. Why not? Maybe that'll satisfy some of her needs without killing him.
Well, this is where it's like, oh, this is a little porny. Like, this part is a little porno-esque.
But don't worry, it's just lipstick.
They pull the top off, and it's a giant lipstick, which is almost just as useless.
What? Giant woman need giant lipstick? Fuck it.
Like, what? Where would you even go
on
to
her
have
lips.
That? No, not that! You. Where would you have that made?
You know, machine shops take custom orders.
A machine shop will make what I can only assume is 100 pounds of lipstick?
Well, obviously that would be outsourced to somewhere else, Zach.
And they got it in less than a day?
I mean, it was roughly the same, even more turnaround than the bikini, so they had even more time for that.
I guess so. Things just show up in this movie. So again, the
Hugh Hefner, fake Hugh Hefner, he's loaded probably. So
probably. Again, the whole time, the nerdy guy has this real crush on her, and he's jealous that she has a thing for the photographer. So he goes to order her 300 cheeseburgers.
Right? Yeah. So first they're just feeding her bread, and then it's like, you know what I really want instead of, you know, 5-foot-tall lipstick vibrator? And so he goes and orders 100 cheeseburgers from, like, McDonald's or whatever, and just, like, you know, continuing what models eat. Sure.
But, like, if you're gonna show him buying that, we need to see her, like, eat them, or at least have, like, hundreds of wrappers on the ground.
Some kind of satisfying ending to that bit.
Yeah, where she's like, wow. Or she, like, eats all 300 of them in one bite, and it, like, didn't even matter.
It's
like, you gotta give us...
size.
Right, you gotta give us something. You can't just set up he buys wheelbarrows full of cheeseburgers, literally, and then never show her...
That's all they set up for, though. Just the shot of a wheelbarrow full of cheeseburgers.
Right, so we cut back to the office where we're showing the doctor inventing the end of the movie, where it's a giant gun that looks like a future laser weapon, but it just shoots gas out of it.
I can't tell if it's meant to just be gas or if the gas is meant to represent some kind of ray. Either way, it's the MacGuffin that is supposed to shrink giant things back to normal things.
Like I said, he makes the end of the movie, and they test it on the one hamster in the cage, and it shrinks, and they're like, yay, it worked, and then it explodes. And I mean, like, it looks like they put a stick of dynamite in a rat.
Oh my god, I love it.
This thing just blows the fuck up. And they're like, okay, well, I guess we won't try and fix that, because they don't. They don't. They're just like, well, I guess that's what it does.
Good news is it shrinks things. Anyway, that's all we needed.
Back at the circus tent, the nerdy guy finds Angel sleeping, and like a real fucking weirdo starts rubbing her giant nipple.
I missed that.
Oh, how could you miss that? It's the creepiest part of the whole movie.
I guess I'm pretty glad I did. Jeez.
He walks in. She's sleeping. Her giant bikini is pulled to the side, and there's, like, an enormous nipple in front of him. Also, there's, like, really bad superimposed effects here where, like, he's on a green screen and, like, she's in the back of the shot. It looks horrible.
So,
but
generally, the effects with her in the background, I didn't think were that bad. But anytime she's meant to interact with someone, then they take a real sharp drop.
Oh, this one is terrible because her nipple's hanging out. So he stands there watching her sleep and he smiles like a real creep. And he sticks out his little man hand and he starts rubbing her nipple. And because she's in the background, all she's doing is like moving her body back and forth to make it look like she's being pushed. So it looks like this guy is just mashing her big old boobie all over the place. And I'm like, this is really gross.
I didn't see that. It's funny because without that scene, there's never actually like any real direct sexual content, so it avoids being a softcore porn. But well, with the inclusion of that, I'm gonna count it. I'm gonna say it's a softcore porn officially.
That's what I mean. I saw the dildo part, the vibrator part,
that's just
and then
a
gag. Yeah, but then this part showed up, and I'm like, where are we going with this?
You know where we're going with this.
Yeah, I know exactly where we're going with it. So she wakes up, and he's just like, oh, just standing here, not doing nothing. And he tries to warn her that the Hugh Hefner stand-in and the photographer guy are going to exploit her, which, how could she not know that?
Because she's a bimbo?
It's, like, incredibly obvious, right? And like you said, it's like, well, of course they would.
Right? Like, you end up with a unique anything. Obviously, you make money off of it.
Right, like, why is this a surprise to anybody? So then she just, like, goes for a walk or something?
Yeah, I guess she half believes him and is like, I haven't seen my doctor. I've been asking for doctor accidentally made me huge. And so now I'm just going to go find him.
It's a family name.
You know, it's generations of, they landed on the Mayflower.
Doctor accidentally made me huge.
It's true.
So stupid. So she's walking around, and there's a gag where she, like, asks two old guys drinking in a truck where directions to the town or something.
Oh, you missed the Jurassic Park bit where she's walking and they see, like, you know, the little rings form in the beer, kind of like in the water in Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. I guess Jurassic Park did come out, like, the year before.
Maybe Jurassic Park got its bit from this movie.
Well, that's impossible because Jurassic Park came out first.
Who's but, to say?
Then there's a scene with a crazy gas station attendant talking to a journalist about aliens.
Oh my god, they pay off on this scene in the best way possible.
Pay off!
So, all right, so there's a National Enquirer journalist who is talking to local yokel gas station guy who, much like many articles in the National Enquirer, has been abducted by aliens. And the journalist is sitting there phoning it in like, yep, okay, like, what are your details so I can just say that I got them and then publish a general article. And so then the two guys in the truck from earlier come up, they tell National Enquirer guy what they saw, and so he just runs off. And then once the gas station attendant is alone, you see a light appear above him, and then just, he's abducted. And I thought that was the greatest way this scene could end. Like, they don't just blow it off as like, ah, it's a plot device to get the reporter. It's like, oh, fuck it. You know what? Aliens. Why not? I mean, this is a boobs movie, so we're not going to explore that. We just confirmed life exists outside of Earth, and it has found Earth, and it is taking people. But, you know, whatever.
But it's also like, because the gags are so infrequent in this movie, like, you can count them on both hands. So this is, like, gag number four. So he gets abducted by aliens. She gets into town, which is, like, this town is, like, an Old West mining town.
Right? Yeah, even though they're supposed to be, like, in L.A., or, like, just outside of L.A. at some, you know, rich guy mansion.
Yeah, it's like some cowboy truck stop with, like, a gas station, a post office, and a restaurant, and that's it. And she sees this drunk in the streets who's drinking a brand new full-sized bottle of Jack Daniels. Like, he hasn't even taken a sip out of it yet.
But he's already drunk.
And she sees him and asks for some. But, like, this is the thing. I don't understand why she's even in town. Because she's just sneaking around. She's not
she's
doing
not even
anything.
Sneaking around is the thing. That's the funny part. Because she, like, the two dudes in the truck, she goes up to them and is like, hey, can I get directions to wherever? And they're like, oh my God. And then they run away. And then this guy's just out there drinking. And she's like, hey, can I have a drink? Fuck it. Sure. I'm clearly done with drugs forever. And so then the next guy she sees is the National Enquirer guy. And suddenly she's sneaking around. That's the first time she avoids talking to anyone. She doesn't know who he is.
Also, like, this National Enquirer guy has also become a subplot all of a sudden. Now he's part of the movie.
Right? Which is just more 90s tastic of, like, making fun of the National Enquirer.
But he also does nothing. Like, you'd think there'd be the thing where he's, like, trying to sneak in and, like, she has to hide or, like, he almost gets a picture of her. Like, there's no excitement to it. Like, he thinks he knows that she's there, and then he finds her, and then he just disappears.
He's part of the denouement.
So she just goes back to the tent at the end of the night. Like, I don't even know why she was out in the first place.
Neither does she.
So the next day, the nerd calls the doctor and says, oh, you gotta get over here, whatever. Then they're going to do a photo shoot with her, and she is topless again. She is topless more often in this movie than she is not topless. And, of course, it's just another... All it is another photo shoot scene that lasts 3 minutes. And it's just her, like, you know, pushing her boobies together and, like, turning her back and, like, mugging at the camera. That's all she does!
Isn't that what a plaything model shoot should be, Zach? Except she's in a giant, she's in like a water reservoir as a swimming pool, and so that's supposed to be the only token to her size.
Yes, I will give you that that is what a Playboy model would do. That is not how you fill a third of your movie.
I agree with that. One thing I pointed out, though, this guy, like everybody, is just flicking away on their cameras, like National Enquirer guy, especially like plaything photographer guy. I wonder if once, just once, they loaded any film into these things. And so you've just got like 30 blurry, half-focused shots of like a guy on a boom camera. Just like...
Also, especially when they are in the actual like photography room. What am I thinking of? Studio.
You know, that place.
Yeah, when they're in the studio, and to your point, he's just clicking away, and he's never like, give me another camera or put more film in this camera.
Once,
it's like
once on the
beach. He does it once
on the beach. Like the second Angel arrives, he takes like five, and he's like, all right, out of film, nerdy guy, fill up my camera. Girls take five.
Oh, I guess I missed that part.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry. Don't have to get so indignant about it. So the other two women are, of course... Oh, yeah, we've skipped over these women the whole time.
That's fine.
There's constant gags of them trying to have sex with Hugh Hefner because for some reason they still think that they're going to possibly be the centerfold.
Right. And he's not, you know, totally obsessed with the 60-foot woman.
Right, and there's this gag where they keep trying to have sex with him, and then the girlfriend shows up with a chainsaw or a shotgun or something and scares them away.
Right, and again, never says a word.
doesn't have a single line of dialogue. She might not have been able to speak English. So they're like, oh man, what are we going to do? We're never going to something something. So they go, hey, what if we drink some of the MacGuffin?
They don't even know about that. They're just like, let's go see what her secret is.
That's true. The redhead, I think that's Betty, question mark?
I just call her the other girl.
So the other girl walks into Angel's room, finds that case of MacGuffin juice, and drinks a bunch of it.
So, by the way, Angel has been taking some of this stuff. Then she drinks enough of it to become large, which is obviously some kind of overdose. Then Redhead drinks enough to also become large. Then when third girl finds it, it's literally half full still.
They seem to imply that maybe she also drinks some, but nothing happens with her. She remains the same size. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the photo shoot, there's some real bad imposed effects where the photographer is just standing between her boobies.
Oh my god, this is the worst effects of the whole thing. Yeah, he just pops out like, I'm just getting some money shots, waka waka.
But this is what you wanted, though. You're like, why wouldn't he just do backflips on her boobs? Well, here we are, Matt. You got it. Are you happy?
No, he's in there with a camera. What is he going to do? Take photos of her pores?
He's like, I'm taking photos down here. I'm like, of what? Just darkness?
Yeah, right? Like, you are literally right next to your subject.
Just a picture of a giant blurry nipple.
Boom. Plaything.
So then the next 15 minutes of the movie sort of just happen real fast. She calls the guys out for exploiting her.
Yeah.
The nerd quits his job. Then the redhead shows up, just also 60 feet tall.
Nerd, also, you can't fire me, I quit.
Redhead's entrance is so anticlimactic.
Oh my gosh.
She just walks into frame.
Right? She already has her custom-made giant bikini. I don't know when she ordered that.
Well, I think they just have a room full of them.
Right? I guess after the first one, the guy was like, I better make a couple of these.
And it's not even like where she's like across the way, like, hey, you, or she gets discovered or something. She just walks on the frame and's like, oh, I'm also like this now.
And now we are fighting.
What kills me is, no, like, they're in a giant open field. So she must have walked a good half a mile to them.
And they've established that when these women walk, the ground shakes.
And their line of sight is very far. Nobody noticed this giant woman walking up to them.
The people in this movie are very vain and self-absorbed, so probably not.
And she's on frame for 5 seconds, and then they just start lady fighting.
Because cat fights are hot, Zach.
But they never set up a reason for it.
Doesn't
like,
need one. They do, the rivalry.
But they could have done this when they were both regular size. Like, they could have fought at any given moment. Now all of a sudden that they're gargantuans, now they have to fight?
I feel like the jealousy was building over time, and now that they're on equal footing, you know, things are coming to a boiling point. I'm going to allow it.
Okay, thank you, Judge Matt.
You're welcome.
So as soon as they start fighting, the doctor also arrives at the same time.
You can tell
with
the
cartoonish
movie's wrapping up.
Right, we're racing towards the end at this point. He shows up with a giant dart gun. The journalist is also hiding and taking photos, and I think that wraps up his plot too.
Almost.
And then he fires this dart gun at Angel,
okay,
misses.
It's a
and
bazooka of a dart gun.
It is. It's a
or
giant. 90s. It's a rocket launcher. And he hits the redhead with the dart, and it doesn't affect her. She pulls it out of herself and then throws it, and it hits the Hugh Hefner stand-in. Then the photographer, having his worst line delivery in the whole movie, goes, oh, she killed him. Just like, that's how he says it. Oh, she killed him.
But then the doctor, also, like, and this is also super 90s, it's only a tranquilizer. The problem isn't what's in the dart. The problem is it's, I don't know, a double zero gauge needle just impaling this man through a fist-sized hole.
This giant railroad spike-sized dart goes into the base of this man's spine.
And the doctor's like, it's a tranquilizer, it's fine.
Well, not to mention, even if it was a tranquilizer, that much tranquilizer in that size of a man would kill him.
Yes.
So that guy's dead. He gets up later, but we're not talking about him. He should be dead.
No one dies in this movie.
So then all of a sudden, for no reason, we just we just jump cut to being in the middle of L.A.
Yep, suddenly just downtown.
Also, it's nighttime, and it was daylight. It was like noon 30 seconds ago.
And we get like 2 minutes of B-roll before the fight even starts of just downtown L.A.
So what this seems to imply is that they've been fighting for hours.
Right? Like, this has just been going. Not even winded, though.
No, and they're also, like, not any worse for wear.
Right?
Like, if we're going to have two giant women fight... Like, when is somebody going to pick up a truck and, like, whack the other one over the head with it, right?
When the special effects budget is more than nothing.
Well, yeah, I know. But, like, if you got two giant humans fighting, you want to see, like, somebody grab some, like, live wires.
Giant humans fighting gags, yeah.
Yeah, like, somebody, like, puts your head in that giant swimming pool we had and tries to drown you in a pool or tries to shove, like a fistful of watermelons down your throat. I don't know, something. The doctor arrives and sprays the laser gun at them.
Which he could have done at any point.
I was just like, why didn't we just do that in the first place?
Because the movie had like 5 more minutes of runtime.
That's how it felt. They were like, oh shit, this movie, it's still not even 90 minutes long. This movie's only an hour and 25 minutes long.
Title credits.
And it felt like they still couldn't fill it.
Like, we needed more Stryker.
It's already filled with 40 minutes of women just being topless. There's barely a movie here. So they shrink them down to normal size. The nerd punches the photographer and kisses Angel. And we all start to walk away because everybody's happy.
Angel punches Redhead and knocks her out in one hit.
Right, which, why didn't she do that for what appeared to be 12 hours of them fighting in the streets? Then we all start to walk away, right? Because now we're all done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear a noise, and we turn around, and Betty, the redhead, has exploded.
Taking with her in the blast the photographer.
I guess the force of her blowing up was so powerful. One, she also started a tiny fire.
And two, it wasn't so much that the guy's clothes were destroyed.
No, his shoes are still there, so I guess it just, like, vaporized him.
Right? It was like Cell. It just only the organic parts.
So then the movie's over.
Well, then the group of them walking away looks back, seeing the explosion. Angel, no expression. Nerd guy, no expression. Doctor, just smiling.
And also, like, why isn't she like, is that going to happen to me?
I think we were all wondering that.
Like, why doesn't she blow up? Literally, we've sprayed this thing on 3 things. 2 of them have exploded.
First successful trial, baby.
Sweet. My new application works 1/3 of the time. So, and then that's just it. The movie just ends.
Nope. I thought that too, but it's not. Then...
Oh, yeah, with the rat. I was going to skip that, but...
And then the National Enquirer comes up, and you see 2 ladies in a supermarket looking at the cover going... Fight of 60-foot women downtown? What'll they think of next? And then one more cover of the rat.
And it says, giant 30-foot rat terrorizing downtown L.A. Like, why is that not what this movie's about?
I keep saying, give me more Stryker!
Because then he sees how big it's gotten, and now he realizes, like, he has to get back in the game.
Right?
And he's like...
No one else can do it but me. I would watch the Stryker spinoff movie.
And he's got to make by hand a giant mousetrap like the size of a Mack truck.
Or he just makes like some kind of giant mousetrap Gundam suit.
He goes to the deli counter at his local grocery store and he's like, I need cheese. And he pauses. All of it.
That's right. I was about to say that.
And then he has to, like, in his Gundam suit, like, lure this giant rat over to this Mack truck-sized mousetrap.
And there is, like, just the biggest mouse hole you've ever seen in the side of a mountain.
I was going to say, where would this hole be?
Oh, wait, no, it shouldn't be in the size of a mountain. It should be in the side of, like, a skyscraper. Just, like, the bottom 6 stories of a building just carved out into a rat hole.
And then he'll have to lure this thing into, like, the middle of a park. And then when the trap cuts, it's just, like, an eruption of blood and guts as this thing's... Head is this 30-foot rat.
Just a tidal wave just washes away people in the park.
I want that movie, just called Stryker Rat Man.
Stryker Rat Man.
Well, that the movie isn't nearly as good as we finished our movie to be, but Now we got to wrap it up, and you got to give your rating. It's a good party movie. It's a good hangover movie, or you hated it.
It's a good party movie. I don't know. You could watch this with a bunch of people, people you're comfortable seeing boobs with. And yeah, I thought the movie was hilarious.
Not hilarious,
but I thought it had its moments. And like you said, it was fairly well paced.
It wasn't like I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
But it's not a good party. I don't think it's a great party movie because, first of all, depending on who you're seeing it with, there's going to be a lot of, like, weird boners in this room.
I don't think I had one during this whole movie.
Well, I mean, that's why I said depending on who you're seeing it with.
Fair.
And it's not a great... I mean, it could be a decent hangover movie in the sense that this movie requires nothing of you mentally.
Oh my God, does it not.
Like, if you are hungover and on the verge of death, and for some reason this is the only movie you can find, sure, leave it on. But it's not even, like, gonna keep you entertained. Maybe it will.
I was entertained.
If you're 13 to 16, watch it.
If you have any editing abilities of movies, edit out all the parts with boobs and just do the comedy bits. And put that on YouTube and send it to us. And I will watch it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I guess we're just about done now. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail, you can send us that at moviehotdog@gmail.com. We have a YouTube channel now where you can watch all the episodes. You can stream them there. Please subscribe and leave comments. That's at Zach Space Hot Dog. We are on Facebook at This Movie Was a Hot Dog. Please like us there and leave us any suggestions you have. That's where we've been getting a lot of our movie suggestions. If it's good and we can find it for free, we'll absolutely watch it. If you get this on iTunes, please subscribe and rate as it really helps the show. Matt, do you have anything to say?
Good to be back.
Good to be back. Good to have you. This movie was a hot dog.